Good morning again. This morning I read in Ephesians chapter 1 verses, the first 14 verses or so. And what I wanted to talk about this morning is kind of refocusing on God's plan for us. Because we sometimes lose sight of that, usually in times of trial or just as we hit little milestones in our lives, may just be an eye-opener of something. Somebody says something to you that brings an impact that you've had on somebody completely unintentional and unexpectedly. Realize like, hey, wow, I made a difference with somebody. A lot of people go through life either looking for a plan, or they kind of think they have a plan, or they're trying to follow through and finish somebody else's plan. Somebody has a plan for you, somebody has a plan for them, and they are trying to follow through with that. That people come up with, try to please others. And I'm constantly being told, stop trying to please everybody, you won't do it, you'll lose your mind. Which is true. I've been losing my mind trying to please everybody all the time. It's pretty much impossible. Losing sight and losing focus of what your purpose is and why we're here and why we do what we do each day, the trials we face, the people we run into, just everything can kind of become overwhelming at times. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, what are we pursuing? And who's, why are we pursuing certain things? What we want, are we pursuing it because we want it? Are we pursuing it because others want it? Or are we pursuing what God wants for us? And going about your daily lives, whether it be work or helping others or just running into people, dealing with your own families, whatever it might be, we should always have the perspective and keep the perspective of what does God want? What does God want for us to do? So we're going to look at a few verses and I'm going to share a couple of my thoughts on these and to hopefully help us not lose sight of what we're supposed to do. And recently, whether it be, I don't know, less classes we do in the back life application class or when we're out here, specific words in specific verses and seem to be sticking with me more and more. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, I think it is. Or at least that's what I wrote down. Hopefully that's the right one. Yeah, it is. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And what kind of stood out to me there? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Oh, that goes on to the second verse. But what kind of stood out to me there is to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Who marks that race out for us? Is it other people? Is it us? Or is it God? Who's marking out our race? We need to not lose sight of who is doing that and what that's for. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, he's told at conception, his life was already laid out for us. Now God doesn't come and tell us, hey, you know, everything mapped out for you, this is what's going to happen. But he did for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he told him exactly everything that was going to take place for him. Everything that his life was made out to be. That it was all planned out at his conception. God had that plan for us. He has the same plan for us, and he reminds us in multiple verses and throughout the Bible that we have that plan. He has that plan for us. Not our plan, his plan. Gonna go off a little bit because my wife sent Titus out in class with a thing that kind of sums up what we're going to be looking at as we go through these steps. It says, when God told Noah to build an ark, he had a plan. God had the plan. When God told Moses to take the Israelites out to the desert, he had a plan. When God sent Jesus to live on earth, he had a plan. Okay? So God has a plan for everything he's done since the beginning. He knew he was going to have to send his son to bridge that gap for us because he knew man was going to fall away. He knew we were going to mess up. He knew we were going to sin. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we continue to walk with God. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will guide us on our path as long as we keep our mind on him. As long as we focus on the right things and we develop that relationship with him, he will keep our path straight on where we're supposed to be." So, first thing we need to do is make sure that we're walking with God. Make sure that we're doing what we need to do, keeping our mind, our hearts, and our actions all focused in the right place. The next thing we need to make sure that we do is that we actually surrender ourselves to that will. Surrender our heart to him, which is a little difficult because our human side doesn't necessarily want to put something in somebody else's hands. We want answers. We want, like, approval. You know, we want approval that this is what I'm supposed to do, right? This is what I think I'm supposed to do, so I want your approval. And that's not what surrendering is. Surrendering is letting somebody else have complete control. Letting somebody else have complete control of our life. So when we surrender to God, then everything in his hands. And letting his course and his plan and his path take place in our lives. So in Romans 12, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." It's God's will for our life that we're supposed to be walking and living. It's God's will, not ours. We're here for him. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me with that was, I mean, just recently, I know some people have tons and tons of Facebook friends, and people post everything on Facebook. I don't post a lot of stuff. I post a few things here, and at least I don't think I do compared to other people. Maybe to others I do post a lot, but I post a few things here and there. And it's usually something that kind of stands out to me, or it's something to do with my boys or my family. And that's about it. It's just to kind of keep everybody kind of up to date with what's going on with me or where my mind and thoughts are. Sometimes I'll post something and somebody corrects me. "Hey, you might want to look into this." "Oh, okay, I'll look into that." I thank Charles for that because he always corrects me. But anyway, I was at dinner with a couple of friends the other night, and two out of the three that I was with made the comment that they're very cautious about what they put on Facebook now because they friended me. And so I can see what they're posting. And so they think twice about what they're putting. I kind of looked at them like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yeah, we need to rethink some of the things we post." I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, "Cool." I told Lori that and she was like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." So, I mean, that's kind of a good effect. It's something that we look forward to. That's something that we want to have, but totally, completely unintentional. Hopefully, things that they're seeing, whatever I post or whatever I'm doing, they're hopefully seeing, you know, God living in my life, and, you know, they're thinking twice about some of the things that they're doing. So, going back to the surrendering, I mean, we are supposed to not be conformed to the world, not do the things that the world does, not necessarily post and continue the things that the world wants us to. We need to stay focused on God and completely surrender to him and put all of our trust in him on what's going to happen. Occasionally you'll see some people take it to, and I kind of look up to these people. I kind of wonder where I'm going to end up being in education if some things keep going the way they go. But But some people will take it so far as to leaving their job to be right, or something they don't agree with, or something they can't condone. And I've heard of people doing that, and I've seen people do that. They turn out okay. I mean, things fall in the right place for them. God still looks out after them. So, I mean, there are some that's surrendering. Literally being able to and willing to put everything into his hands. No, I'm not going to do this for my employer because I know it's wrong. Because it's against my faith. Because it's not right. Because I know God wouldn't approve. Those are things, that's what surrendering is, and that's how far we should be taking it. Seeking godly input. Where do we get our godly input? We normally get it from the Bible, but that's not our only source, believe it or not. We tell our kids this growing up, and I tell students this at school all the time. You want to know what kind of person you are? Who do you spend the most of your time with? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are your top five? Who are the five people that you spend the most time with? Those are the ones that are influencing you. And when you're questioning what God's plan is for you, when you're questioning where your path should be, who do you think you should be spent, who should be in your top five? Hopefully godly people. Hopefully people who will steer you in the right direction. Hopefully people that will remind you to get, you know, what your purpose is and what your focus is and where your life should be. Your top five, at least part of your top five, should be people that have the same beliefs and have that same relationship with God. Those should be your top five. Those are the ones that are going to make an impact and guide you down the right path. Proverbs has a lot of good stuff. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, we're reminded of this, where it says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." But again, you have to be careful who your advisors are. I trust Bob for advice. I trust Gerald for advice. And Charles. Just like Josh went through a whole list of people who he knows would help him, I can name off all those people that I know will give me good, godly advice. They'll guide me down the right path if I'm struggling or if I'm questioning something. A lot of times when I don't even realize it, those people will step in and be my advisors and help me. So whether Peter 4:10, we are all told that we have certain gifts, certain abilities, certain talents, certain things that are going to come more natural to us, that we're going to be able to help and serve and do things. So paying attention, part of when we start losing sight of what God's plan is for us, we might be going down, you know, an area that's not in our area of gifts and talents or what we are capable of doing. There's certain people, I write the schedule, and so I know there's certain people that don't like to do certain things. They don't view that as their talent. I may disagree with them, but they don't view that as their talent. Everybody is able to contribute in some way, and it's important for us not to lose sight of the fact that God has planned, He knows what our purpose is. He created us for a purpose. Nobody should be able to go through life feeling like there's nothing, they can't make a difference. It's sad that there's so many people that are lonely, that feel like they don't have a purpose, that they can't contribute, to the point to where they even take their own lives. And that's not what our purpose was. It's not God's plan for us. It's important for us to make sure that we are being that example to others so they know that they do have a purpose. Reaching out to those that are struggling, you know, emotionally or mentally, and they need that help and support. So that way, they can do their part. I don't think Mary misses anybody's birthday or anniversary for that matter. And Gerald's probably a lot like me. Gerald would forget, but Mary won't forget. Mary is a very caring person that will not forget people. She has a gift for it. I couldn't remember somebody's anniversary or birthday if my life depended on it. Except for my own, because that will get me in trouble. But I have Lori, who remembers all those birthdays for me and takes care of all that for me. My parents said I got incredibly smarter once I married her because of how many things I remembered. And I'm sure Gerald would agree. Same way, right? So pay attention to what your gifts are, because we all have them. We all have some purpose. We have some reason. There's something that we're good at. We're going to be able to reach somebody. We're going to be able to help somebody. And it's going to fall in God's plan for us. He gave us those gifts for that reason. In a couple other things that we need to think about is making sure that we pray, listen, and follow. Praying is our way of communicating. We all know that. And praying is everybody a conversation. It's a one-way conversation. But a lot of times, it's important to do the listening aspect. To put that problem, put that question, put that concern in front of God, but let Him also get just kind of silence is nice. A chance to meditate, to actually think about, you know, what is it that He wants us to do with that problem or question that we're facing. Not just always us asking and talking and thanking, but actually us just thinking about the Word and God and His purpose and His purpose and plan for our life, not losing sight of that. In John chapter 10, verses 25-ish or so to 27, Jesus is being asked if He's the Messiah. And He answers and He says, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall not never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. We need to make sure that we're listening. We are His sheep. We are following Him. But we have to be listening to what He's telling us as well. Whether it be with your top five, whether it be through your prayer, whether it be through your meditation and your quiet time, or whether it be when you're reading the Bible itself, those little bits and verses or word phrases that stand out to you, we have to be listening for it as well. We need to be alert and ready to follow it and listen to it. And hear it when it's there. The last portion that I have talks about two things, which is one is listening to your heart. Keeping your heart close to God allows you to know Him. It also allows you to keep Him to help you stay on His path. In Proverbs, again, in verses chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it talks about listening to your heart and following Him. He'll guide your path. He will keep it straight. He'll you know, lay out those footsteps for you on where you're supposed to be. And then something that, I don't know, something that always seems to come back to me is, and everybody, well, not everybody, you hear people say this all the time, which is when one door shuts on you, who opens another? God does. Praise anybody who's even remotely religious will say when they're going through a hard time. I know God will open another door for me. I know He's, you know, there's a plan. This is happening for a reason. That's something that everybody always says. But I find it interesting. In Acts 16, when Paul and Silas and everybody are going around and spreading the word, found it interesting in Acts 16, starting at verse 6, says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Pergola and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Being kept from preaching the word. Door shut. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter. God had a plan for them. Either wasn't the right time for them to be there, or they weren't supposed to be there. So they passed and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had that vision, they were ready to leave at once to Macedonia. And realizing again, yes, doors may be closed. I mean, you have his apostles and disciples ready to go and preach the word wherever they're going, but certain areas they weren't able to. It wasn't a part of God's plan at that time. There's times where when we're supposed to be in certain places at certain times, our gifts will fall in line. What we're able to do will fall in line. We just have to make sure that we're listening, we're looking, that we're keeping our relationship close with God, that we're following His Word, that our heart's in the right place, and He will guide us down the right path. We've all gone through times where we question what we're doing and why. Well, we need to not lose sight of that. We need to not question God. We need to constantly remember He has that plan for us. Just like in the Old Testament with Noah and Moses and everybody else, He has had a plan for everybody. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. We might not know what it is at times, but if we keep our heart and our mind and our faith and our relationship with God, that plan will come to fruition, and it's what God had planned for us. It's what He wanted for us. It's why He created us. So we just need to pay attention, and we need to make sure that we're willing, able, and ready to follow. Those are my thoughts this morning. Went a little bit over. I apologize, even though I don't think it was my fault. But hopefully what I did share will help you remember if you are facing a trial, if you are having a rough time, if you are questioning it sometime as to why certain things happen. Hopefully you can take some of these thoughts, hopefully you can take some of these verses and remember that God does have a plan. God created each of you for a reason, each of us for a reason. It's His plan, not our plan. Whenever we get involved, that's when we start messing up. That's when things start getting ugly. It's not our plan. It's not anybody else's plan. It's not your boss's plan. It's not your parents' plan. It's God's plan. And it's His plan for you. If anybody needs to come forward and join the family of God, start down your life down that path and start living the life of His plan for you. We're going to have Charles lead us in a closing song, and that will be our gospel invitation.